How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. It is Sunday afternoon, and we are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are not only every Sunday, but every weekday, Monday through Friday. Sundays we are here, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Mondays, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily and the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. Every time I say daily, I'm shocked that we are here every single day, but in fact we are, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. All last week, we were talking all of the news leading into WrestleMania, Raw with Roman Reigns, and then later on in the week, Friday to be exact, what a day to announce bad news. Normally happens on Fridays, so I guess the idea is it will be buried and Monday will come and it will be a fresh start for everybody, but here it is Sunday, we're going to be talking all about it today, the resignation of Bill DeMott from the WWE developmental system. He is gone. And as I noted on Friday when we did the breaking news audio for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, he has in fact been replaced, at least on a short-term basis now, by the former Tensai. He is now taking over the role as head of developmental until they, I guess, bring somebody in to permanently take the role. There are mixed reports on the future of Bill DeMott. WWE told PW Insider that he was gone from the company. I was told by somebody within the company that he would be moved to an office job. So I guess we will find out. But the key to the story is he is no longer the head. He is no longer training everybody. And boy, last couple of days have I heard all sorts of things from people in developmental. How excited they are that Bill DeMott is gone. We're going to talk all of these stories, plus take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show, Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for 2 hours on Sunday. We are going to take a lot of phone calls here today. If you've got thoughts on the past week, and perhaps Monday through Friday, you're listening to the replay as opposed to live during the workday, now's your chance to get your voice heard. 855-478-4478. My email, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. We'll do email questions as well. Twitter, @BrianAlvarez. Sempervivi is @Sempervivi. And Sports Byline @SportsBylineUSA. I want to thank everybody for putting me over 20,000 followers on Twitter. I do appreciate that. And Mike, your main man, Bill DeMott, just sent out a tweet here recently. Have you seen it?
I have not. Let me double check, see what's going on here with Mr. DeMott. He's got a lot of free time now, I've heard.
Yes, a lot of time to tweet. He said, "Thank you to all my family, friends, and positive messages. It hasn't gone unnoticed. Thanks for the support. Hashtag blessed coming in and going out," which I don't think is a hashtag that will be trending anytime soon. What are your thoughts a few days removed from this story? We didn't get a chance to talk to you a whole lot about it on Friday because it was a whirlwind of a show. Thoughts on the demise of Bill DeMott as a trainer for WWE?
It's unfortunate. There's a lot of unfortunate things that surround this thing. But if I'm WWE, and yes, these allegations were from 2 years ago, that's true. They have made, or at least according to WWE, they have taken steps to make sure things like this do not happen again, in that there are cameras everywhere. There is audio that's available to the people in Stamford. Triple H has talked about many times, all he's got to do is press a button and he can interact with people who are down in Florida doing things. And even though all of those things have happened, the bottom line is these allegations were still around. Some were very, very nasty as far as homophobia and racism and just some less than stellar things that DeMott has said. And that doesn't even have anything to do with the training methods or any injuries or anything like that caused down there. And it's WWE is a publicly traded company. And these are things, even though they were in the past, apparently, they are still things that could come back and creep up on them and get them at any time. And I think they made the right decision. It's probably a decision they should have made a long time ago to either reassign him or to let him go completely, because again, it's just too much liability on WWE's end to keep him around. And it's unfortunate for really everybody involved.
Quick note before I jump on the phones right here, just a reminder to everybody, these are open lines, they are unscreened. So when you call the number, 855-478-4478, it is going to ring and ring and ring. You may hear the program when we pick up before we bring you on the air, but once I say you're on the air, you are on the air. This is an over-the-air radio show as well, so please no profanity on the program here today. And if the phone doesn't pick up, if it just keeps ringing, try again till you get on. That's how this thing works. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
Got a major Sex Ferguson story for you. I don't know if you've heard it yet or not.
I have not heard any major Sex Ferguson stories in a while now.
Well, this deals with the Bill DeMont controversy.
All right.
And I guess we should mention Sex Ferguson's is more known by the name Doc Gallows for many people, but he does have an alter ego, which he likes to proclaim himself as Sex Ferguson.
That's right. So what happened, Ryan?
Okay, supposedly, one of Bill DeMont's training methods was Sex Ferguson would be naked in the ring, and he would do the stink face naked to Melissa Coates and also Zack Ryder.
That is what has been alleged, and in fact, I received a photo today of an incident where that did in fact appear to be happening.
And that is, I guess, for people that are unaware too, that did not happen at NXT. That was something that took place while DeMott was head trainer of Deep South Wrestling, which was a WWE developmental territory for a short period of time that was owned by the assassin Jody Hamilton a couple years ago.
No good.
Not really.
Is that the only Sex Ferguson scoop you have for us today here, Ryan?
Well, my question is that how he got the nickname Sex Ferguson?
I don't think so. Mike, you may know otherwise.
I'm not aware that that's where the roots of that name came from, but I would not know to be sure.
Well, if we ever have Sex Ferguson on the show, I will ask him about that incident and if that's where he got his name.
Okay, thank you. And do you know if that was his idea or Bill DeMott's idea?
I believe that the deal was that Bill DeMott said he wouldn't have to do some sort of training that day if he agreed to do this deal. So I believe it was some sort of goofy trade-off, which he accepted.
Oh, okay.
But yes, Ryan, do not do this around the office. I'm just telling you right now. I've heard about, as you've noted, the females there. They would not be fans of this behavior, just as a little life lesson. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. Boy, have I heard in the last couple of days from people that are so happy that Bill DeMott is gone. Big change is coming. It'll be interesting to see how this change is developmental at all. I look back at Ohio Valley Wrestling and all of the guys that they turned out, and then I look at developmental today and all the guys that they've turned out, and the best guys that they have turned out were guys that learned to wrestle and worked the indies long before they ever met Bill DeMott. And his track record of taking people from scratch and turning them into great wrestlers, to me, it doesn't really seem to be there, Mike.
No, it doesn't. And I know a lot of people will say Charlotte, and it's like, well, I don't know if you give Sarah Del Rey the credit for that. I'm not sure who you give the credit for that too. But when you go back into those Ohio Valley days and you have names like John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, the list goes on and on and on. And then you compare it to now as far as quote unquote homegrown talent goes, and they have not created that many people. Most of the people that have come up and have made an impact in WWE or in NXT have had a long history of independent work before they even got to Florida.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John from Philly.
What's up, John?
Hey, it's WrestleMania season, and it's kind of depressing to me just how not enthused I am by this build. And it has me wondering, just because I'm a subscriber to The Observer, and I love it. And I guess my question to you guys is this. Can you think of a time that, I guess my question is this. Do you guys still, after all these years, is there something that you can pinpoint that still recently gets you excited about professional wrestling in the build-up? And my second question to you is, I've been a subscriber to The Observer, and I don't know if anyone's ever asked you. I was wondering, for you two, what is your favorite matches from, let's put in the past, let's say, 5 years in WWE? And like to just get your thoughts on that.
Well, actually, hold on, before you hang up. So when you say, okay, is there anything that excites us about wrestling, are you talking strictly WWE or just wrestling in general?
Let's go to, you know what, because I was a Hulkamaniac growing up as a young child at 7 years old. I am a WWE, I'm a WWE fan. I gave New Japan a chance, but it's very hard for me to get into anything that's not WWE. I have to admit it. So to WWE, yes.
All right. Well, first off, I will say that I'm very excited about all sorts of things in wrestling, but I'm least excited about things that are going on in WWE right now. And the reason for that is, I mean, there's no other reason than I don't find it very exciting right now. If you go back a year, and actually, we're going to head to a break. I'll talk about this with Mike when we come back from the break. And take more phone calls as well, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, we had a caller asking about what excites us in wrestling today. And as I was starting to say, I get very excited watching wrestling every week, but it has not been WWE of late. I am very excited to watch NXT every week. I'm very excited to watch Lucha Underground every week. Very excited to watch Nitro every week when we go back to the WWE Network. A lot of WWE Network stuff that I love to watch. I'm going to watch more of it tonight before the Brian and Vinny show. But Raw just has not been exciting to me. And it's not like I don't like WWE. It's not like I don't like Raw. I mean, everybody always asks me this question about WWE and what do you like and what do you not like? Are you jaded? What's good? What's bad? And the answer is, it's always such a strange question to me, because the answer is always, if it's good, I like it. And if it's not good, I don't like it. If it's boring, I find it boring. And if it's exciting, I find it exciting. I can go back a year and I can look at the Shield when they were running wild, and the Wyatt family, and last year's lead into WrestleMania. I mean, there's all sorts of things where when it's good, I love it. And of late, I just have not been all that into the WWE product. There's nothing that excites me. The Roman Reigns push, just, it's not working. I'm really not into it. There's so many guys on the mid-card. I mean, I don't care about people playing tag for the Intercontinental title. That doesn't excite me. If it excites you, great. But I just can't get into it right now. And I'm sure the time will come, because it always does. You can never predict the future. Something is going to happen at some point, I don't know when, where they're going to hit on some guy or some storyline or something, and it's going to be really, really fun and exciting and good. And I can't wait for that, but it's certainly not right now.
Yeah, there have been far darker days than what is taking place right now in WWE, as frustrating as this is. Right now with the booking, and as you said, with the mid-card of just a bunch of talented guys just stuck in the muck and the mire with no real hope in sight, unfortunately. And hey, even in its worst times, what did we get last year? I mean, the Shield in Evolution, the Shield and the Wyatt family, Daniel Bryan at the beginning of the year, Brock Lesnar and John Cena. I mean, there are still great matches that can be taken, you know, that can take place. It's just, unfortunately, Raw is a tough show to watch. 3 hours as long as it is anyway. It's very tough when you have it, you know, week after week after week being an unexciting show with a bunch of people that you have no emotional investment into. It makes it even worse. And like you said, will things come around? Yeah, they will, because they always do. But that isn't very exciting right now. The plus of that, though, is there are lots of exciting things happening in other places. They may not exactly be what you are used to if it's New Japan or if it's Lucha Underground, but there are at least tons, and I don't want to say tons, but there are many, 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 many examples out there of professional wrestling, which is engrossing, whether that you think that's ROH TV, whether that's New Japan on Access, whether that's current New Japan, Lucha Underground, Europe, no matter where it is, there is exciting stuff going on. You just, if you're a real pro wrestling fan, you just have to take a step back from WWE and search those things out. And if you are a big fan of WWE and don't like the other stuff, well, that's when you go back and you utilize the network, because if you're that big of a WWE fan, you probably do have the network. And because of the archives, there is tons and tons of tons of stuff in there for you to watch.
To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, it's Chris in Las Vegas.
You don't sound happy.
I was going to say, this is starting off on
a... You know what? Last night, I was watching the network. And
why is everyone hitting buttons on the phone today, by the way? Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Okay.
Every caller so far has randomly been pushing buttons on their phone, but go ahead.
I don't think I pressed one, did I? Okay.
Maybe the phone's being tapped.
I was watching the network last night, and I saw WrestleMania 26, and I'm watching the ladder match, and I realized how much everybody's running in place or even has stepped down a floor. Yeah, Jack Swagger, who won the Money in the Bank that year, and then they proceeded to do nothing with
which,
them.
By the way, when you think back at the idea of Jack Swagger having won Money in the Bank, it's amazing to think about.
I like Swagger. Well, I did.
Well, I like him too, but when you see him on TV nowadays, it's like, this guy won the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Hallelujah, it's true.
Pretty much.
Go ahead, Chris.
You had Kofi, who could have been somebody when he put Orton to the table and they didn't do anything with them. And I'm looking at all these mid-card guys and I'm like, is they're in the same spot or they're lower than where they used to be? And it feels very WCW-esque to be in that situation. Now, lately I've been going back and I'm finally starting to watch ROH, starting to reach out to New Japan and starting to do things I did as a kid. Because when I was a kid, from 11 a.m. to like 5 in the afternoon, you would have USWA, WWF, you know, WCW, whatever promotions were on, every independent, every show, I used to know everything. And that's what I need to get back into doing. And as soon as WrestleMania is over, I'm canceling my network.
Whoa, Chris, done. Hold on a second. Why would you cancel the network after WrestleMania if all of that stuff, there's a lot of great stuff on the network. You could be watching Nitro all the time. You could be watching old Raws. There's World Class. There's Primetime Wrestling. I mean, if you don't like...
Is there World Class up there and stuff?
There's World Class up there, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have to go back and look for that stuff. I know...
You actually... Here, let me tell you something.
Here and there.
Let me tell you something. I give advice to WWE as well. If you go up to the network right now and you start scrolling through, there is more stuff than ever. There is one-third more content than there was when they launched. When they launched, there was something... Actually, there's more than that. There may be double. I think when they launched, they only had about 1,500 hours of footage up there. They're now at 3,000. And
you know what they should do is maybe advertise and tell us
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's exactly what I was going to say. They have done a terrible job. I never, when watching Raw, see anything that says, hey, guess what? We just added Primetime Wrestling. You know where I hear about that? On my own message board from other people. There's so much new stuff up there right now. And I would guess that some people who either have not subscribed or maybe like you have the network, but you're not looking around all that hard. There is a lot of stuff up there that you may not know about. So you should go check it out.
All right.
I mean,
look what they did
for Black History Month. Look at just that stuff alone. And they aired those 30-second vignettes or
actually,
films.
Can I cut you off real quick, Mike?
Yeah.
All that Black History Month stuff, I just got an email from somebody. It's off the network right now.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, even that aside, at least when they were doing that stuff, they should have said, hey, check out Rufus R. Jones challenging for a belt, or check out this promo from Thunderbolt Patterson from way back, you know, all of these things that they could have said, but they didn't say any of it. And that's been a thing that a lot of people have complained about. Have a wrestler, while you have all of this attention on Twitter and you love Twitter so much, have your Dolph Ziggler or Triple H or whoever it is say, hey, you know, when I get done the show tonight, or when we get done the show, I'm going to be turning on this and watching, you know, whatever it is, whether it be World Class to see the Freebird slam the door on Kerry Von Erich's head, or whatever it is. Let them say what they're watching. Even if they're not watching it, put it out there so it draws some attention over to the network.
So everybody listening to this is well aware, we have a subscriber area, and I don't come on here and spend 20 minutes just burying you with information about the subscriber area. I give a couple of quick plugs during each show. And why WWE doesn't do the same, it's astonishing to me. I mean, they shouldn't go on there and just like bombard you with ads for the network and make you sick of the idea of signing up. But they should alert you when there is new stuff on the network. And if there's no new stuff on the network, they should alert you as to what has recently been added to the library. They spend so much time on that stupid live stream, which it just amazes me.
That they don't utilize.
Well, not even that, but like I read that article that they did recently where they're talking about things they learned in a year of doing the WWE Network. And one of the things they learned was, oh my gosh, more people watch stuff on demand than watch the live stream. And it's like, of course. Have you paid no attention to Netflix and Hulu? These services don't even have a live stream because it's all about watching what you want on demand. When you're on Raw and you're saying, hey, after Raw tonight, you can watch WrestleMania. WrestleMania 20 is going to be on the network tonight after Raw. It's kind of like, why are you plugging the live stream? Instead of plugging the live stream, why don't you do a commercial that says, do you realize that every single WrestleMania is on demand on the network right now? When Raw is over, you can watch any WrestleMania you want. Just go on the network and watch it on demand. It takes 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Do a normal commercial length thing. Take 30 seconds once an hour during Raw and promote some of the cool stuff that's on the network. Make it different every single time. And the fact that they don't do this is mind-boggling to me. It's actually, in some ways, amazing that they've hit a million subscribers the way they've promoted this thing. Sometimes I think, as ridiculous as it is to state that they're going to get to like 2 or 3 million, I mean, when I look at how poorly they've promoted this thing, I kind of do think you should be like at 1.25 or 1.5 million right now if you actually promoted this thing and promoted the value of it and why people should get it outside of just the pay-per-views. I mean, the pay-per-views are important, but there are people that are not into the current product, and there's plenty of older stuff that they will, just like Chris, that just called. Back in just a moment with more, everybody. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. As the man says, call now. Raw's tomorrow, everybody. And Mike, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but your main man, Bray Wyatt, has announced that he is in possession of The Undertaker's urn, and he is going to be bringing it to Raw. Which begs the question, as I was talking about this with Dave a while ago, I theorized that we're not even going to see The Undertaker until WrestleMania. I don't think he's going to be on Raw. I don't think he's going to make one appearance until WrestleMania. Dave thinks that he will be there, perhaps on the final Raw before WrestleMania. What is your take on this? Would you hold off The Undertaker until Mania and make people have to pay for the network to actually see the guy again, or would you bring him back as a big surprise to build interest?
At this point, it wouldn't stun me. It wouldn't bother me to not bring him back until WrestleMania. With the network being the way that it is, and I'm not sure how many people are going to buy it on traditional pay-per-view, but you can do enough smoke and mirrors, and if you want to have a pre-tape with him, or I guess it would be a pre-tape vignette, certainly wouldn't be an interview or anything like that, but if you wanted to do a bunch of stuff with special effects and things like that, I guess I would be okay with it. I think the bigger question for me tomorrow night would be, how did he get the urn?
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing.
To be honest,
I hope they don't
I'm
have some sort of goofy storyline where he went into Paul Bearer's crypt and stole it. It would not be the first time that poor Paul Bearer was involved in a storyline based around his own demise.
Maybe we can have that hologram thing this year that people have talked about. Maybe we can have a hologram Undertaker before he comes back at WrestleMania. But at this point, I think with 3 weeks left, I don't know what exactly is a great selling point on this show. Even with the buzz of people now knowing that Bray Wyatt will be facing off against The Undertaker, there still doesn't seem to be any buzz for it. So I would probably at this point just, you might as well go ahead and wait it out. If it happens before then, great. But I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference either way.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
What's up, Edward?
Well, since you guys are talking about what excites people in wrestling, what excites me in wrestling is this past Friday, I was real excited because I got to watch the Shine Eye pay-per-view, and I got to see Mia Yim win a 2 out of 3 match against Nevaeh. I got to see Leva Bates. I got to see Solo Darling. I got to see Cherry Bomb. It was really exciting. So if you want to see something exciting, people, I suggest you watch some Shine because it's freaking awesome.
Now, Ed, I'm going to allow you to plug them here in a moment. How often does Shine run these iPay-per-views? Because it appears that you call every single week having just watched one.
Well, no, it's not every week. They usually run either once a month or sometimes it's even every other month. But they do run at least, like I say, at least every other month. But they're on WWNLive.com. You can always go down there. You can always get the downloads. I think the VOD is up for this past show. And it is awesome. And I'm not going to take up too much more of your time.
I'm going to take up some of your time here. I'm going to put you on the spot. Since you call every single week to talk about the women, there has to be some wrestling promotion out there that isn't all about the women. Or maybe there is. He hung up on me.
I would suggest revenge against that man.
Wow. Man.
Can I just latch onto something with the women, though, too? And I'm surprised Ed hasn't said this, but one of the other women's organizations out there, obviously there is Shine and there is Shimmer, which is Dave Perezak's. And Saturday, March 28th, also as part of WrestleMania weekend, the Chick Fight Tournament will be taking place in San Jose. And I'm surprised he has not mentioned that Mia Yim, when you go to the shimmerwrestling.blogspot.com front page, is right up there. So I'm surprised he has not mentioned that yet. I wonder if he's going to be working that into his weekend.
Well, I just got a call. This better be Ed apologizing or he's going to be banished for life from this program for that blatant disrespect. Who is this?
Why do I have to apologize? You hung up on me after you said you're going to ask me a
No,
question.
I did not hang up on you. But anyway, my question, you're lucky it's you, Ed. All right, my question is, there has to be a male feud out there, whether it's WWE or somewhere else, or some promotion that doesn't involve women that you are somewhat excited by, Ed, correct? There has to be.
Well, there's an indie promotion in Austin called Inspire, and I've gone to a few of their shows, and they have some awesome local talent, and they bring in guys like Lance Archer and Mr. Touchdown and a bunch of other guys from Chikara. And I look forward to seeing their shows when I get the opportunity. That's they're pretty exciting. So check out Inspire Pro Wrestling. And to answer Mike's question, I am actually going to the Chick Fight in San Jose, and I'm a little pissed off at Dave Prazak because, one, Blue Pants is not booked on the show, and Dave better hope he doesn't see me because I'm not going to be very happy when I see him, but I am looking forward to seeing Mia Yim win this tournament and kicking everyone's ass.
Well,
I hope for Dave's sake he doesn't have to see you either.
Well, listen, I've seen Ed. It's impossible that Dave won't see him if he's there. It's physically impossible. All right, Ed, you're forgiven for calling back after rudely hanging up on me in the middle of a very, very important question that I had for you. Speaking of women, everybody, tonight is the two-part season finale of everybody's favorite show, Total Divas. Now, I have not watched this all season long. It was two episodes before the end of the last season that I finally had had my fill. I just couldn't take it anymore. But I have heard that this has been a good season, maybe even a very good season, and that Paige has saved the show. Now, I don't know if it's going to do me any good to watch the season finale, because I haven't watched any of the rest of the season, but it is possible that tonight, both for journalistic purposes and so that I can torture Vinny, we will watch the season finale of Total Divas and report on it on the Brian and Vinny show tonight. I think I'm going to do that. Depends on how I feel after this show wraps up here, Mike.
Run, Vinny, run. If you're listening, run.
He don't run. Have you seen him lately?
Well, you know what, Vinny, with free agency coming up in the NFL, I know you're going to have to check out a lot of that stuff. Maybe he can fall ill or something like that, so he doesn't have to do this. Brian, you've gone through.
I haven't figured out why I've never gotten Vinny on this show. I got the studio right here, especially during football season, but I guess he's probably busy. But we should bring him on here during football season one of these days. He could come up at halftime of various games and give everybody a report.
Do you want to torture yourself? I mean, you've gone through this whole season without seeing any of Total Divas. Why don't you just set somebody else up to see it? Not Vinny.
But I heard it's good. Listen, everybody, I've mentioned this a million times. All I want is for my programming to be either really good or really bad. I don't want it to just be there. I don't want it to just be a show. As Vinny has said many times, it was a show. There's nothing worse than watching a show, and when it's over, you feel like, okay, that 2 hours was wasted. It was just a show. There was nothing exciting about it. There was nothing to talk about. There are no talking points coming out of this. It was just a show. I would rather the show was like, oh my God, what an awesome show that was. Or like that One Impact show with the barbed wire Christmas tree. Oh my God, what a terrible, one of the worst shows I've ever seen. One or the other is what I want, not just, hey, a show aired.
Well, I will have to take your word for this. Usually these reality shows are a little bit formulaic, and I would assume, in fact, I know pretty much for sure that Total Divas will be back next season. So I'm going to assume that this will end with some sort of cliffhanger or something that makes you want to see the next season of Total Divas, which I will not be doing. So, hey, best of luck to you this evening.
All right, my big question, then we're going to go to the phones. Before this Total Divas series wraps up once and for all, does John Cena propose to Nikki Bella?
This season?
Before all of the seasons have wrapped up, before the end.
I will say this, if he is going to do it, probably yes, although there will have to be a very special episode, and I'm not talking about one of those very special episodes where, like, Dudley is locked in the bike guy's basement, like, on Different Strokes. It will have to be a live Total Divas, which is somehow tied into Raw, because if John Cena were to propose to Nikki Bella on Total Divas, I think the word will get out, no matter how much people will try to hide it. So you'll have to try to tie it in somehow where it leads to a Raw where she is very, very legitimately surprised.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If they announce at the end of tonight's show, if John Cena, for example, proposes, and next season is all about the wedding planning, and the final episode of next season, which would be the finale of the series, like if the series is over, they're not doing any more series, it's a final season. If the final show of the final season is the John Cena and Nikki Bella wedding, that show will do a monster rating. By E standards, by the way. I'm not talking Super Bowl numbers or anything stupid like that. But by E standards, that will do a monster rating. And that's how I think they should end the whole thing. That's my prediction. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
John, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Listening to the Total Diva chatter. I can't say I've ever watched that show once. Actually, I did catch it once or twice. And I have no malice towards any of the girls that are on it and that kind of thing. Yay for them, extra payday. man, this Bray Wyatt thing. Am I the only one who sees that this has kind of fallen flat, this whole Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt, and pretty much the entire WrestleMania build?
No, it's flat. It started flat, and I'm still very surprised that the Undertaker would even be brought back without a lot. Again, they obviously had this idea in mind because Bray Wyatt, as soon as January hit, started to get on a roll. But I think that they should have probably done a lot more besides keep Bray Wyatt strong and really start to do some things that would make you want to see the Undertaker, who lost last year, come back and go head up with Bray Wyatt. I think there are a lot more bells and whistles they should have pulled off in the lead up to this. But with that said, again, like many have said, the whole lead up to WrestleMania is unfortunately what it is.
I have to admit it's not capturing my interest at all. I'm more enjoying the following New Japan and the conjunction work they're doing with the NWA and that sort of thing. I got to give kudos to Bruce Tharp on what he's doing with the NWA and trying to give it some sort of luster again. I mean, after years of being dormant, this guy is working his tail off trying to make it something again. So kudos to Bruce Tharp.
What do you think of Bruce in New Japan, Mike?
I love him. I think he's a great character. I'm not sure how much he's able to do as far as the NWA in America goes. I know there are some promotional affiliations attached with him, but as far as the NWA name still meaning something in Japan, it does to a point, and it's serving the purpose as far as a lot of the storylines and things like that go over there. So you got to give it to him with what he's been able to do over there and make a character out of himself over there. You know, hey, kudos to him. And he's been able to bring some Japanese guys over here to work in Vegas and in Texas. So no complaints out of me.
All right, everybody, we'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, taking your phone calls, talking the news, 2 hours every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. In the next hour, we're going to open up the phone lines again, 855-478-4478. Got a breaking news note here. This is from the Sunday update on the Observer site by Dave Meltzer. Alberto El Patron is suffering from a torn quad. Suffered on Wednesday night wrestling in Mexico. He did work Friday night in Waterbury, Connecticut on the Northeast Wrestling Show, but that explains the change in the card and why he was so limited. That is a tough injury. Obviously, it is not torn to the degree that Triple H's was torn, because trust me, he would not be wrestling Wednesday night in Mexico. And I guess we'll see if we can get an update, whether he can tape it up and rehab it, whether he'll need surgery. But a torn quad from Alberto El Patron, which is certainly no good for him, as he is on quite a roll, working Ring of Honor, working Mexico, working Lucha Underground. He was a main event of the show this week. So a lot of good things going for him. Hopefully he's doing all right. We got a lot of news to talk about in hour two as well. Don't forget there is a UFC event which is coming up next weekend. UFC 185. We'll give you some details on that show. And also some notes on Josh Koscheck, who has decided that after losing last Saturday, his fourth straight loss, I might add, he is going to be coming back on March 21st in Rio and fighting again. I don't think this is a good idea, but we can talk about that after the break as well. Plus, Total Divas, New Japan, all of the news. It's going to be a fun hour, too. Get ready to call as well, 855-478-4478. We're going to be back after the top of the hour news. So stand by, everybody. More Wrestling Observer Live in just a moment here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, as well as Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes. List goes on and on. TuneIn Radio, a great way to listen to Sports Byline USA as well. And we've got a lot of news to talk about here today on the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. I'm actually, Mike, checking out the lineup for tonight's Total Divas. I've been told that Grumpy Cat is on the show today. This I got to see. So tonight, March 8th, the first of two episodes. This one is called Indecent Exposure. The Bellas, it says, are startled by a nude pic of their brother. That would, in fact, be startling. While Natty, it says, meets Grumpy Cat. And then in the second episode, the new Divas Champion. Season 3 comes to an end with the Bella Twins considering signing a 3-year deal in the ring. Meanwhile, Paige asks Bradley to move to L.A., but then she discovers a skeleton in his closet. And even Eva Marie's husband puts her relationship with the WWE at risk. At risk? I didn't even know she had a relationship with WWE outside of this show. Am I missing something?
I don't know, but with you being a cat guy, at least you should be able to get some mileage out of Grumpy Cat and Natalia's meeting, because obviously TJ Wilson Tyson Kidd is a big cat person, and they did nothing with his cat love and Grumpy Cat on Raw, so maybe they were saving it all for this show.
I, honest to God, can't wait to see this, because I need to see the meeting between Natty and the Grumpy Cat. How do you meet a cat? Does she just go in the room and say, hey, I'm Natty, and shake the cat's hand? This intrigues me. We could talk more about this after the late break, plus real wrestling and mixed martial arts news. All after the break, plus your phone calls, 855-478-4478. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478, and let's go to those phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Adam calling from Canada.
Adam in Canada, what's happening?
I just have a random question. They produce a new championship belt for each title defense so that the winner of the fight actually gets to keep the belt. I'm just curious if there's any wrestling companies that would do this, because I know some wrestlers, they treat the belt as kind of a big deal in their career, so I don't know if they'd be able to actually keep the title.
I know that guys have replica belts. A lot of the guys in WWE that have won titles, I mean, if you've ever seen any of the shows they have done, like at Rock's house and Steve Austin's house, they got their belts all over the walls. I'm not sure exactly how it works in terms of how many copies of each belt they've got. I mean, you could always buy your own replicas. I would guess the bigger stars are probably given copies of the belt, and the lower level stars probably have to go out and buy their own belts if they want their own replica. But generally, there are a few sets of every belt. One set goes on the road for television, and it is pristine. And then they have another belt that the guys carry with them on the road that gets banged around, thrown around, it's all scratched up. But as far as like who gets what at the end, they don't do it like UFC, but I'm sure that, you know, if Steve Austin at the end of his run, I'm pretty sure he'd be presented with a copy of the belt to take home.
So Kofi Kingston doesn't get to keep an Intercontinental Championship for himself?
I'd bet he's got to go online and grab one for himself, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Probably wouldn't even have to go online to do it. He could probably just obviously go directly to whoever is making the belts right now. There's so many guys, I'm not sure who's doing it right now for WWE, but I am sure that that's probably something that they would do.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. If you want to give us a call today, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Phone lines are open all here today. Anything that is on your mind, UFC 185 coming up this weekend, Raw Monday, the WrestleMania card, which, by the way, I don't think we've talked really about that WrestleMania card here for a while. WrestleMania is just a couple of weeks away, everybody, and I will be there live, Santa Clara, San Jose, essentially. It is WrestleMania 31, March 29, 2015, Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. It is the first WrestleMania held in the Bay Area. And as of today, just 3 weeks before the show, we only officially have 4 matches announced. Now, obviously, we're going to be getting a John Cena versus Rusev match, but since it's not official, the official card, what we know for positive right now, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Sting versus Triple H, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which as of this point has The Miz, Curtis Axel, The Ryback, Fandango, Adam Rose, Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Big Show, and Kane. And also a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, which includes, so far, Bad News Barrett, Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler. I would expect that probably Daniel Bryan will be added. Maybe Gold and Stardust will be added. What are your thoughts on this card thus far, Mike?
It's certainly a card. Now,
is it is a card.
It's I've heard a lot of people trying to put a positive spin on the Intercontinental scramble or ladder match that they're going to be having because of the names involved. I think people are, it's more of a hope thing when it comes to the IC title, that they will look at the people in that match and from WrestleMania forward, they will treat the title seriously. I'd like to think that too, although they are doing everything possible to not make you believe that with the very Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd stylings of R-Truth and Bad News Barrett looking like a fool and the whole nine yards there. I hope after WrestleMania they do treat it seriously as well and treat all of those guys who are going to be in that match seriously, because you really need to rebuild that mid-card very, very badly. I think there was a caller on Friday or on Thursday that had called in. It's very frustrating to see these guys, and the caller talked about stars. Are there any stars? And there's no stars. There are no stars. Randy Orton is a star. John Cena obviously is a star. There's hope for Rusev. There's hope for Seth Rollins. But once you get past that, what do you got? Really, what do you have? Even, Bray Wyatt, this deal with The Undertaker, I can't see Bray Wyatt defeating The Undertaker. It could most certainly happen. It could really jumpstart Bray Wyatt if you want to go hard with him after The Undertaker, if you decide that Bray Wyatt should be the one, defeating The Undertaker again. But again, you got to get serious about those guys, because John Cena's not getting any younger. Orton's not getting any younger. And you are one injury away from, what do you have? And I should have thrown Roman Reigns into that mix too, but he's so cold right now, and they've done such a bad job building him up in this lead into to he against Brock Lesnar that, again, this is rough times right now, and it's all of the talent that they have, and they got a lot of talent. I don't care what you say about any of these guys, whether you like them or not, but when you look at that match, just that match for the Intercontinental title, the ladder match, when you look at the names of Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper, who can pretty much work with everybody, Ziggler can, Daniel Bryan can. It's just, damn, I don't think there's ever been a time where you've had, again, that much really good talent that has been beaten into the ground so incredibly badly. A lot of people look back to those years on SmackDown, like the post-Attitude era years where everybody had characters, but to me, the talent level wasn't there. Your Khalis and your Kozlovs and guys like that. You have them now, but damn, give people a reason to invest in these guys.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Jim, what's happening?
Oh, I just wondered, did you get a chance to see NXT?
I did see NXT.
Wasn't that a great women's match in the main event?
It was I didn't think it was as good as the special, but it was a very, very good main, and yes, women in the main event. Give these divas a chance, as they say.
That's right. Amen, brother. But this is one thing that bothered me about it. Okay, I'm always, I keep up with women. I see what kind of time they're getting in the ring. Okay. They give Charlotte and Sasha like 12 minutes, I think. I think it's around 12 minutes. They would. All right. You have a divas match on Raw on a three-hour show, three times as long now. And you can't give them 7 or 8 minutes?
Well, the problem, Jim, is that the Raw audience and the NXT audience are very different. The NXT audience has been conditioned to believe that these women are great athletes, they can headline shows, and they are worthy of your time as a fan, as a viewer. The Raw audience has been conditioned that these are hot girls. They walk around in skimpy clothes. They're there to be eye candy, and they're not to be taken seriously. So the reality is, if you gave any of these women 12 minutes on Raw, it would die a death. It would die a death. So before you can give the WWE Divas a chance, you have got to start re-educating the audience that these matches are important, these girls are important, they are athletes, they are more than just eye candy. And until they do that, I wouldn't even be hoping for 12 minutes because it would be a television disaster.
Well, I think there are two that I think would have a good chance of having a good match right there. You put Natalya in there, who's had indie experience, and you put Paige, who's got boo-koodles of indie experience. You put them two in a good match, I think you could do good.
Well, Jim, hold on. Let's talk to you more after the break. We got to head to a break here, but we can discuss this more when we come back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Jim in Virginia is on the line. Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, we're talking about the girls, you know, that could make a good 12-minute match on Raw. You don't look no farther than Paige and Natalya right there.
They could have a 12-minute match, but it still goes back to if they don't have a story that everybody really cares about, and they're not pushed as being important competitors, it still wouldn't work, even if they could have a great match in the ring. The fans have just been conditioned for so long to not care about the women that it is an uphill battle.
And I would venture a guess that a majority of the people that are going to WWE shows, while there's a lot of them that are network subscribers, how many of them are regular NXT watchers? And that's the other thing that, you know, when if you were to bring up Bayley or Sasha or whoever, you know, that anybody that's really not Charlotte, and you bring them up ice cold, and even if they go out there and have a great match, they may be able to surprise some people. But unfortunately, like Brian said, so many people are just in the habit of the women come on and they completely tune out because it's going to go 2 minutes and it's all being set up for something that has to do not with wrestling usually.
I got a question for Mike. Whatever happened to Dump Matsumoto and Bull Nakano?
Bull Nakano lost a ton of weight and became very attractive.
Yes.
I heard about that now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly what they're doing right now, to be honest with you. I could kind of poke around and find out. But yeah, certainly in the case of Bull Nakano, it was almost shocking to see her as again, looking quite good compared to the beast lady she looked like when she was an active wrestler.
Didn't she come back for like one more match in the last couple of years and put weight back on so that she could be Bull Nakano again?
I'm not sure if she put weight back on, but I believe she did come back. I'm not sure who it was for. I'd have to go back and try to double check that. But yeah, it's she shouldn't have to put weight on to like that to come back.
All right. Well, she didn't really look like a bull when she lost all the weight.
Did the story, do you remember hear the story that they wanted the one-man gang to come back at the WrestleMania Battle Royal, the Legends Battle Royal that they had years ago now? They wanted the one-man gang to come back as Akeem, but he had lost so much weight that he couldn't come back as Akeem, so he went as the one-man gang.
Man, crazy and sad. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Laura from Canada.
Laura, what's going on?
Hey, I was following Twitter the other day, and I saw on, Dolph Ziggler, some fans from Dolph Ziggler, that he had lost a tooth, I think, in one of the live events. I think it was in Rochester. And I was just wondering if you know if that's true or not.
Mike, did you hear that? I hadn't heard that story.
No, I haven't.
Did he have a picture, or did he just say he lost a tooth?
It was just... one fan was like, Dolph Ziggler, did I just catch your tooth? And I think someone else mentioned something about him losing a tooth as well. And I only saw a few tweets about it, but Yeah, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. Could have been the old chewing the gum spot, and you take a shot to the face and you spit the gum out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll probably find out tomorrow one way or the other, because if he lost it, I don't know if it'd be repaired yet.
That's true. Don't want to hurt that pretty face.
You do not want to hurt that. I agree 100%.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. We'll try and get a
follow-up. You know what I like about all the Canadian callers? They all rep all of Canada. Where are you calling from? And they don't say, like, I'm calling from, you know, Kelowna, British Columbia, or Toronto, Ontario. They're just calling from Canada.
That's right. That's right. When I was in Hawaii, I went to a magic show. And it was a magic / comedy show. And he was, during the act, he would ask everybody in the audience, you know, where are you from? And, you know, everybody in America would say, oh, I'm from Houston, Texas. Oh, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. Everyone from Canada? Hey, I'm from Canada. One big state, apparently, north of the border. If anybody from WWE is listening right now and you know an update on Dolph Ziggler's tooth, let me know and we'll try to update here on the show. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. The lines are open, so give me a call right now. Mike, on a completely unrelated note to anything going on in pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, are you going to get the iWatch after I believe it is unveiled tomorrow?
I will not.
Really?
I will wait for the next generation of such things and see how it goes for everybody else first.
Yeah, those first generations, you never know how they'll end up, right?
Well, you know, hey, look, I got the iPad, I've got the iPod, I've got the iPhone, I've got the iMac. That's enough.
That is a lot of I right there. I want to make mention, since we're speaking of the iPhone, iTunes, etc., if you are listening to this show and you are a subscriber to the website and you want to find a way to podcast it and you've been having problems with iTunes, I don't make any money from this. I wish I did. But Downcast is apparently one of the apps that everybody is talking about.
Love it.
Yes, Lance was raving about it. You love it. It is, I think, $3, but every single person that has paid for Downcast has said it is more than worth it, especially for our shows. You can go to the front page right now and scroll down, and there is a link, how to podcast the free and member-only radio shows, a list of various RSS feeds. You can get the feed for all of the shows here that we produce, or you can choose only certain shows. If you want Observer Radio, for example, and the Brian and Vinny Show, and Observer Live, you can just choose those three. But you put in a Downcast, you put in your username and password, and it podcasts every single one of those shows to you, all of the members-only shows. So check that out up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And also, if you're listening to this on a replay and you want to hear the show live, we've had people confused about that as well. If you do not hear this on a Sports Byline affiliate, if you cannot find it on Sirius Satellite Radio, you can always use the TuneIn Radio feed of Sports Byline USA. And if you head to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, right there on the right-hand side of the page, there's a gigantic microphone. And underneath it says Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, weekdays 3 Eastern, Sundays 6 Pacific. If you click on Sports Byline USA, it will take you to the Sports Byline USA live radio feed, and you can listen to Sports Byline 24/7 and, of course, our shows whenever they air live. So I want to send that message out to everybody since we still do get questions about that. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Dave from Miami. What's up, guys?
What's happening, Dave?
It was great to hear from Jim from Virginia. It's good to hear him back.
That's right. He had some health issues, but he has now returned to the show. And I know that people were mocking me for this statement, but it is true. Jim in Virginia is the favorite caller of those in WWE who listen to this show. So congratulations, Jim. I will get a plaque out to you in the mail.
That's awesome. Hey, Brian, in the past, you've said that based on subscription numbers to the Observer that you guys can estimate and pretty much tell how also the WWE is doing. Here, revving up to WrestleMania, would you guys be able to say, considering the lukewarm build, that if you guys can estimate or project how you think WrestleMania is going to be doing?
Well, it's not an exact prediction, obviously. I can't tell you to the number how many people are subscribing to the network, but I can tell you that when we get the WWE network numbers and we look at the ups and downs, they're very, very, very similar to our ups and downs. We had a huge influx of subscribers the day after the Royal Rumble, as did they. Their numbers are going up, starting when ours start going up, and their numbers have dipped when ours dipped. So my prediction, come WrestleMania time, is that they will be closing in on 1.25 million subscribers, and I have made a $200 bet with Todd Martin that at no point during this year will they drop below, I believe it was 950,000. Is that right, Mike? It was either 9 or 950.
I think it was, yeah, it's 9. I, for some reason, 850 sticks in my head, but I think...
Well, he originally said 850, and I foolishly offered 950, and so then he jumped at the 950. But based on the percentage drop that we have every year after the WrestleMania growth, I would be very, very surprised if they drop below 950, $200 worth, by the way. And I don't think there's any way possible that they dip to 800, 750, or anything like that. I think that they're going to stay comfortably above 950 throughout the year, grow again during WrestleMania season, dip again after that, and it will be a... And here's another thing. Todd, I believe, he can correct me if I'm wrong, he does not like when I... make statements about him. But I think he believes that they've hit their peak and that there's going to be no further growth. And I am pretty confident that there's not going to be growth like there was in year one, obviously. But there are going to be ups and downs throughout the year. And the ups will always be a little bit higher than they were the year prior. And the percentage drop will be roughly the same. So if they hit 1.25 million at Mania this year, I think it's very possible they could hit 1.3 or 1.35 million next year at Mania, and then 1.5 the year after that. I think that's a pretty safe bet. Caller, go ahead and stay on the line. We'll talk to you more when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi as well, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Head back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Actually, I know who you are, but you're back on the air.
Yeah, this is Phil David from Miami. It's just frustrating as a fan, especially since WWE has no competition, that, you know, they can be lukewarm and we're creative, and since there's no change in business, you know, and then hearing that their network subscriptions go up, it's like, there's really no motivation for them to change course. Is there any news maybe on ticket sales for WrestleMania or anything like that?
I know that ticket sales haven't been spectacular. I do know that. They've got a lot of tickets out still. So it's not like people can't get to the show. It's hard to say. I mean, it is. I mean, they haven't been in the Bay Area ever. It's tough to say if it's the location, if it's the build. I mean, realistically, it's probably the build. If this were blowing people away, I'm sure it would be selling out quick. So I don't know. I don't really have an answer for you. Mike, your thoughts?
The one thing about the network is I'm not sure where else they have a chance to expand to, but they are expanding to the Middle East, and they are expanding to India and to the Pacific Rim. All of those places...
None of these are going to do huge numbers.
That's the thing. I mean, there is no history at all. And some of the history we've seen in Japan indicates that they are not willing to really go out and pay for anything, whether it be pay-per-view or streaming services or anything else. So in a way, they may have peaked as far as worldwide expansion goes. Again, I'd have to double check to see where they would still need to go. But most of their major, you know, hubs, they've already hit. So they're going to have to kind of continue to build in the States. They're going to have to continue to build in Canada and in the UK and Ireland and wherever else it'll be going into. So as far as getting that thing out and expanding it more and more with new places, it's going to be tough. So sooner or later, they are going to have to build on what they already have. As far as, you know, the ticket sales go, house shows are what they are. It seems to be that, you know, the very front rows sell out quickly, and there are big chasms, and then, you know, the cheapest tickets, which are usually like $15. And that's how WWE will usually sell it, as, you know, one of the best events you can get for your money. Those seats are always filled up as well. So as things go on, we'll have to see. And I just wanted to throw this out there for Jim in Virginia, too. One thing about Bull Nakano, and I did forget about this, she actually qualified for the LPGA tour, the Dermot Futures Tour. So I'm not sure if she's still on it or not, but in the early 2000s, at least, she had actually become such a good golfer, which so many pro wrestlers have tried to do and haven't done a very good job of it. They continue to hack, but she was able to parlay her talents into a spot on the LPGA tour over there, too. So there you go.
LPGA of all things.
Well, she couldn't play on the PGA, so the LPGA was the way they went. And also that retirement match that she had with her official ceremony was actually on a show that she had put together called Empress. So there you go.
If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Don't forget, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only as a subscriber do you get instant replays of all of the Wrestling Observer live shows, but you get a full library of every show we have ever done dating back to 2005, and you get a ton of members-only radio shows. I have two more shows coming up tonight. The Brian and Vinny Show. We're going to be talking SmackDown. We'll probably be talking Total Divas. Maybe something from the WWE Network. That is coming up tonight. And then later on, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer, the pioneer of wrestling journalism, editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. All of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts will be talked about tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, this will continue tomorrow with Wrestling Observer Live. We've got another Observer Radio after Raw tomorrow. So many members-only shows that you can only get as a subscriber. It's $10.99 a month. It is the number one pro wrestling and mixed martial arts website to go along with the number one pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show. There is nothing more you need as a fan. You will never run out of audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. Plus, you get full access to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter and Figure Four Weekly. The Observer Newsletter is about 35,000 words a week, every week, and we have hundreds and hundreds of back issues. The radio shows and the newsletters cover every big story in the history of wrestling over the past God knows how many years, and you can get all of it for only $10.99 a month at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and sign up. I guarantee this. Like Vince McMahon, I guarantee if you like this show, you will love and cherish your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com.
That's not like Vince McMahon. He would guarantee.
Well, that's true. I like to watch my language here on this program.
Can I make a guarantee?
Yes.
There will be a lot of people looking at the scales when it comes time for weigh-ins before the Chris Carrizo-Henry Cejudo match at UFC 185 next week, because I didn't realize that Cejudo is now fighting back again at flyweight.
This is a bad idea. How many times this guy missed weight?
In the UFC, at least twice. In fact, they forced him after the last time he screwed that up to get him to bantamweight, where he won a decision over Dustin Kimura, but apparently he's back down to flyweight now, so this ought to be fun.
Wait a second, UFC 185? Oh, there it is, okay. Now, are we sure that this is a weight change, or did somebody screw something up somewhere?
I don't know. It has it listed as a flyweight, but I'll double-check to be sure, but yeah, I was that caught me off guard there, which I guess maybe somebody
that may be a mess up. I think he's okay. I think he's fighting bantamweight. Actually, we'll just check Carriasso is Carriasso is a flyweight.
Yeah.
Find out. Double check that one, because that is strange. Let me just check the official card and see what they list it as. It is listed as flyweight on the official card. What is happening there?
I don't know, but somebody must have sweet-talked Dana and everybody else involved, and I'm sure it had to be him, because I wouldn't want to listen to anybody else from his camp talking about what weight he could get. I'd want to sit him down and go, okay, this is fine, and obviously, if he doesn't miss weight, they're not going to cut him. They would they can't, but they would have to force his hand again, and I'm sure take it out on him in some sort of way.
Dude, after missing weight three times, don't think they wouldn't cut the guy.
It's possible. I know they don't like to cut people right now, and I guess really when you're fighting at flyweight or bantamweight as well too, you're not as much of a risk to be cut. And obviously he would be picked up by Bellator or whoever else would be out there. He'd go back to Bellator in this case. And I guess fighting at those weight divisions, your chances of being burned go down significantly if you're the UFC. You let go a guy at 170, 185, 205. Odds are their name is going to be out there and they'll be big enough where it could hurt you in some sort of way. But, I guess that's the chance they're going to take with Cejudo.
The main event of the show, Anthony Pettis and Rafael Dos Anjos, a pro wrestling tie-in. CM Punk will be walking Anthony Pettis to the ring for that fight. Some training photographs, I don't think I've actually seen any training footage of CM Punk, have come out. And they noted that he's now sparring. He's doing real sparring with real opponents. And they did note he's still got a long way to go.
No surprise there. It's, hey, how long has he been doing this in, full bore training on a UFC level? Not long. So to hear that sort of news is not a shock whatsoever. Saw Carla Esparza was not happy. I guess not happy, but I guess she said the UFC is not doing as much as they could be doing to hype up her title fight coming up against, we'll just call her Joanna Jay. I think it's Jezrzyk, the number one contender for her strawweight championship. But with that being said, I mean,
Jezrzyk?
Jezrzyk?
I'll just spell it, everybody. You can figure it out. JEDRZEJCZYK.
Jezrzyk, I believe. I won't even bother to try again. But, realistically, I mean, this whole card, unfortunately, has probably not had the hype it could deserve, which is too bad in a way. I mean, it's obviously not going to do the number of the past two pay-per-views had that had Jones and Cormier, and most certainly not Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano, but there are enough fights on here that make it entertaining on the main show, where if you do decide to go out and kick out the money for this, there could be a lot of fun stuff.
Jezrzyk. I wish they had that thing where you could do the pronunciation deal where there would be like the little microphone and you hit it and then somebody says her name.
Yes.
You know how they do that?
Yes.
But unfortunately, Wikipedia is not helping me out with that right there. So,
somebody call in from Poland and help us with this.
Yeah, do we have any Polish listeners that could properly pronounce this for me? Or maybe I can find another one. And
we have a lot of Polish listeners.
There is an Artur Jezrzyk.
Jezrzyk. That sounds about
Jezrzyk,
right.
Jezrzyk, yes, who is a Polish footballer in the Russian Premier League. But they don't have a pronunciation for his name either, so I'll just have to do my best. But yes, UFC 185 is coming up, everybody. And that's coming up this Saturday. So we're going to be talking about that, obviously, on the show. A lot of UFC is on a roll. I don't know if anybody has been paying attention, but it appears that the Ronda Rousey show is looking to have done about 600,000 buys, is the estimate. A tremendous, tremendous number. Ronda Rousey headlining against Kat Zingano. I mean, realistically, this buy rate was drawn 100% by Ronda Rousey. And this is coming off a bunch of other really big buy rates they've had this year. And something that that Dave noted, which is a very astute observation, is that over the last year, WWE has launched their network, and they have essentially killed their pay-per-view business. For a while, you still had a lot of people that were still buying the shows on pay-per-view, even though they could get them for $9.99. That fell off a cliff near the end of the year. Now they're getting very, very, very few buys on traditional pay-per-view. The network numbers are up above 1 million right now. And fascinatingly enough, although maybe it's not really that fascinating when you think about it, as the WWE pay-per-view numbers have declined, at the same time, the UFC pay-per-view numbers have grown. And I know, obviously, this is no mystery at all. I see in my household, I spend a lot less on pay-per-view with no more WWE and no more TNA. And if I were not covering this for a living, I would be open, therefore, to buying more UFC pay-per-views because I'm spending less money on my cable bill. They've also had the benefit of a lot of big-name stars have been fighting of late. Your Ronda Rouseys, your Jon Jones, etc.
Silva Diaz.
That's right. Looking to be a very, very... Yeah, Silva Diaz. Looking to be a very, very big year for UFC. And we can talk a little bit more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, any thoughts on the UFC WWE pay-per-view correlation stuff I was talking about before the break?
Well, you know, it's, hey, much like we've talked about before, you can never have a match that's booked too soon. You know, we're talking about we're three weeks away from WrestleMania. We got three matches on there, and one of which is not even completed yet, technically in the ladder match. And you know about the UFC's fights, how many, you know, how long out does it matter? No. Sometimes the buildup fails, but you can announce something and build towards it and give people a reason to want to go see it. And why WWE doesn't do that, I don't know. And another thing, UFC, for no matter, they do need stars. They need big stars, and they need to build bigger stars for Jon Jones and guys like that. You know, hey, you need more of those guys, but at least they're trying and making steps to do so, whereas WWE seems to actively be looking for reasons to not push people and to not take those steps forward.
One thing I'll say very quickly before we go here today, one giant benefit to WWE having a network as opposed to running on traditional pay-per-view is when they ran on pay-per-view, it was months before they got solid numbers, which means that made it very, very difficult for them to determine if guys and angles and such were getting over or not. And now they know instantly. For example, Roman Reigns, when he got booed like crazy at the Royal Rumble, if that had been on pay-per-view, they may have made the decision to pull him from WrestleMania because it would be months before they would find out how people actually responded. But when they got a ton of signups the day after that Royal Rumble, they made the decision, we're sticking to our guns, and he's going to Mania, for right or wrong. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, everybody. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Wrestling Observer Live. We got tons to talk about next week leading into Raw and Mania. It's going to be a fun time. Thanks, Mike, and everybody here on the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.